Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state has expanded eligibility for COVID-19 vaccination. A release issued yesterday by the State Department of Health and Social Services says criteria for who is eligible to receive state-allocated COVID-19 vaccine has been broadened to additionally include people aged 55 to 64 and those 16 and above who are essential workers at high risk or might be at high risk for severe COVID illness, live in a multi-generational household, or reside in an unserved community defined as a community where many homes lack water and sewer systems. COVID-19 has claimed the life of a seafood industry worker in the Aleutians. The State Department of Health and Social Services identifies the fatality as a non-Alaska resident man in his 70s. According to the DHSS, there are currently 26 COVID-related hospitalizations statewide in Alaska, including two patients on ventilators. The agency also announced 173 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases. Among the new cases confirmed Tuesday were 47 in Anchorage, 35 in Wasilla, and 18 in Fairbanks. Elsewhere in the interior, North Pole and Delta Junction both had two new cases. Additionally, there were 16 new non-resident cases identified statewide, including 13 seafood industry workers in Unalaska and one mining industry case in the Southeast Fairbanks census area. The National Transportation Safety Board has opened an investigation into the disappearance of a helicopter piloted by former tribal health executive Andy Tuber. Alaska Public Media reports that Tuber's helicopter disappeared Tuesday between Anchorage and Kodiak, the same day the Anchorage Daily News revealed that Tuber had resigned his job as president of the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium after being accused of sexual abuse and coercion by a former assistant. Tuber denied the allegations and comments to the newspaper. The Coast Guard called off its search for Tuber yesterday after 13 hours, saying the decision was based on factors like temperature and the survivability of a crash. Searchers spotted a yellow float that could have come from Tuber's helicopter, but they were not able to recover it. NTSB officials say they're working with a meteorologist to gather information about weather in Tuber's last known location near the Barren Islands. A buoy showed winds gusting around 20 miles an hour at the time Tuber went missing, and the area is known for being tricky to fly, according to retired Kodiak helicopter pilot Tom Walters.
It causes its own weather and stuff like that, especially this time of the year when if you're flying in icing conditions, ice can cover your aircraft up pretty fast and add the weight and some serious conditions on the aircraft.
Meanwhile, the Tribal Health Consortium says an independent counsel is investigating the allegations against Tuber. Alaska State House members have expressed concern that Governor Mike Dunleavy has not proposed plans to balance the state's budget in the long term. KTOO and Alaska Public Media report that members of the House Finance Committee raised the issue with Revenue Commissioner Lucinda Mahoney during her confirmation hearing Tuesday. Dillingham Independent Representative Bryce Edgman says he's uneasy about spending from the Alaska Permanent Fund's earnings beyond what's planned.
I think you sit as a Revenue Commissioner in a very untenable position, given the fact that there is no plan before the legislature. And in my estimation, I don't think there is a plan in administration to bridge the fiscal gap coming forward.
Dunleavy has proposed spending more than $3 billion from permanent fund earnings beyond what was planned. The money would pay for state services, permanent fund dividends based on the formula in a 1982 state law, and an additional dividend payment beyond what was paid last year. The governor has said any new broad-based tax or change to the formula to set PFDs must go to a vote of the public. Committee members told Mahoney that will take too much time.
I recognize that the timeline doesn't work.
The legislature's nonpartisan budget experts say that without changes, state government could spend down the roughly $15 billion earnings reserve in the same way it reduced the state's other savings accounts from more than $16 billion in 2013 to less than $1 billion today. Fairbanks Republican State Representative Steve Thompson says he expects voters would reject both new taxes and lower dividends.
If we have no taxes for revenue and more money coming out to pay a larger dividend, does that sound like a disaster in the making?
Through the chair, I think it sounds like it's a situation where we all need to educate Alaskans in regard to our fiscal condition.
The legislature plans to hold a joint session to vote on whether to confirm Mahoney and the governor's other appointees later in the legislative session. Law enforcement officers are asking the public to build a new Fairbanks area training facility. During an online meeting tonight, engineers will review 10 possible locations for the new shooting range and ambulance driver training area, and they're seeking public input. KUEC's Robin reports.
North Pole's police chief, Steve Dutra, wants to keep current with firearms and emergency preparedness training. But getting the right conditions is difficult. There's a public outdoor range on South Cushman Street near the Tanana River, but training there means closing it to recreational users. And other local rangers, even on military bases, don't allow such actions as drawing from a holster or firing from a kneeling or prone position.
And we have hundreds of law enforcement officers in this area, federal, state, and local. There's not a facility around that can manage all of those agencies.
Dutra has been advocating for a new training range for about 3 years. Now he is representing the Alaska Peace Officers Association and asking the public to build a new shooting range and emergency vehicle training facility. He wrote a grant to pay for Dowell, an Alaskan engineering and construction support company, to find the best configuration for the facility.
Right now, there's nowhere City of Fairbanks and the state troopers and all the EMS people, they can't all get together and bring all their equipment and train together.
That's Alexa Green, who works in Dowell's Fairbanks office. She says 10 sites around Fairbanks and North Pole have been identified by the company, and they'll show them to the public at the meeting tonight.
Determined by criteria that they gave to us, availability of the parcel, if it's a borough parcel or a federal parcel, if it was suitable for the site. The site is humongous.
Maps of the 10 proposed sites are in the report on the Dowell website. Green says the new facility will have outdoor shooting ranges for firearms training, but also classrooms and heated storage. But an important feature is the large paved area for training with fire trucks and ambulances. Dutra says he and his staff have trained in rock quarries and gravel pits and the Tanana River Dike and tried driver training and mass casualty training on airport runways, and he says those options are not safe enough. Officers have gone to Fort Greely or as far away as Anchorage to comply with law enforcement license and certification requirements.
Maybe our messaging on why it's needed needs to be better, and I think that's the part we're going to focus in on this meeting is, why do we need a range like this? Well, there's a lot of reasons I think folks may not consider because they don't live in our world.
Dutra says estimates to build the facility start at $6 million for the first phase of construction that could begin in 2 years, and about $14 million for the later construction phase after 2023. Then there will be operational and maintenance costs.
You know, we understand that the funding is tight currently at the state level, and we don't expect all the funding to come in at one time or from one source.
Online access to tonight's meeting is on the Dowell website. Go to dowl.com/outreach. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
It's going to be easier to visit Juneau. KTOO reports that the City Assembly voted Monday night to relax travel requirements. Starting this week, Juneau is waiving a $250 testing fee for non-residents at the city's airport. Additionally, travelers who have been fully vaccinated for at least 2 weeks and don't show symptoms are not required to socially distance for 5 days after they arrive. Travelers are still required to test before they travel and arrive with proof of a negative result. Or they can get tested upon arrival and social distance while they wait for results. On May 1st, travelers vaccinated or not won't be required to test at the airport or follow strict social distance guidelines, but all travelers will still be required to register on the state of Alaska's travel portal. The changes are welcome news for Juneau's tourism industry, which is looking forward to some business from independent travelers, as Alaska's largest source of visitors, large cruise ships, remain on hold due to a Canadian ban. I'm Dan Bross.